Hello, everyone. Glad to have you with us on this Meet the Pastors podcast. We designed this podcast to help connect our church family worldwide to the latest news, the direction, and the special wonderful people at the Nation's Church here in Suwon, South Korea. I'm Young Ho Park, and today we have with us Pastor Joe Harris, one of our senior pastors here at the Nation's. It's really good to have you here, Pastor Joe.
Thanks, Young Ho. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm really happy and excited to interview you today. Now imagine for a few of our listeners who've sat in on the Sunday services, they've actually seen your husband, Pastor John, preaching, but have probably had rare glimpses of you running around on a Sunday. So I was going to ask you, would you mind sharing what a typical Sunday looks like for you at the Nations?
Sure, yeah. Well, I guess people don't see me so much because I'm in and amongst the children and the young people in our church. So probably more parents have seen me. If you have young children, then you kind of say hi a bit more.
So more of the families tend to see you.
That's right. Yeah. The older children, obviously, they just come to class. So maybe not knowing all their parents, but yes, it's the parents I wave at.
Yes.
Because I know them. So, but yes, really in Enrooted, then that's for our younger age group. Okay. And so I'm usually in with them once a month. We have 22 people who serve the young children.
Wonderful.
So that's fantastic. It's so great to be part of a team who are committed to seeing them grow in the things of God.
Certainly.
So I love to do that and be part of that team. And then Unlimited, which is for our older young people, usually in there the other weeks of the month.
Okay.
And
so you kind of jump back and forth a little bit from those two ministries.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, I have the privilege of actually hearing from you the wonderful and amazing things God's doing in the hearts of those young people. But I don't know if many of our listeners get the privilege to hear some of that. So I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing some ministry testimonies that come to mind for you.
Sure. We've been really been learning in class a lot about heaven and about earth, and heaven being the place God lives.
Amen.
And, you know, some people are still working out, do I believe in heaven? Is heaven real?
Sure.
What does it look like?
Right.
Earth is no problem to us. We all live here.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our own experience of earth. And so that's really been great, helping the children to understand the difference between heaven, the place where God lives, and all that he is, his love, his goodness is. And what would that look like if that was happening on earth?
Great questions. Yeah.
And so that's been really great for the children. And as they're seeing that heaven is the place where there's no sickness, no tears, no pain. We've looked at the things, you know, that actually produce those.
Wow.
And so even from like our young ones at 3 and 4, they can identify that when I fight, somebody ends in tears. When I tell a lie, it's not just about me getting into trouble, but it's about what else happens, on who gets hurt, and how trust gets broken.
Wow.
And even at young age, they start to understand those things.
I was wondering, how young are we talking about?
3 and 4 years old.
That's amazing. Now, I'm thinking, you know, children's imagination, as they intersect with some of these incredible truths, I would imagine some wonderful responses coming out of these young mouths. Yeah? Does anything come to mind? I'm just really curious what these kids are saying and how they're processing through these truths.
It's kind of fun because you get like the random comments that the children make. Like one young man, this was like last year actually, but it just stays with me because it was so funny. Suddenly as he was answering a question, his name was Evan. He says, Evan rhymes with heaven.
Beautiful.
which is, you know, just children.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So they're being children in the class, and mm-hmm. we laugh with them. Mm-hmm. But also within that, them recognizing that, like one lesson that we did on how Jesus will make our hearts clean, mm-hmm. and that these things that we've talked about that hurt us mm-hmm. and hurt other people, mm-hmm. that God calls them one thing. You know, like if I ask you what is fruit,
right?
And the children can all say that, so they start telling us apples, oranges.
Sure.
Because they connect that. So we say, so if God said sin, what does he mean?
Wow.
And under that title, just like the title of fruit, they're starting to recognize when I tell a lie, when I fight, when I'm mean, when I say bad words that would hurt other people, anything mm-hmm. that hurts somebody else mm-hmm. or can hurt me mm-hmm. comes under that title sin.
So simple, but so real. And you're just, it sounds like you're just giving a wonderful space for these young minds and hearts to just take it in and understand it for themselves, which I think is so important as we grow up in the faith, to make it our own and make it real for us.
That's right.
Now, would you say, Pastor Joe, that since you've been so involved with the children's ministry, would you say this is your passion, or does it fit into the passion and the call that God has had on your life?
Yeah, that's quite interesting.
Okay.
So when I think about my passion, and somebody recently said to me, you know, where do you really shine? Where do you feel you shine? And so I went away feeling like I hadn't really answered their question.
Okay.
Because I was like, I'm not sure where I shine. And then I'm like, do I shine? And then, you know, how you ask yourself other questions when somebody has said something
right.
to you. And as I was talking that with Pastor John, then I really was thinking, well, actually, I would like to be able to say that I shine even in a difficult situation.
Mm.
Because, you know, it's easy to shine with something you love.
That's actually really true, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's easy to shine when you're having so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you're doing something that takes a lot more from you,
that's right,
and maybe doesn't always run smoothly or put demands on you that stretch you.
Right, right.
You know, and so when I think about working with the children and the young people, mm-hmm. I would say it stretches me.
Indeed.
But in good ways.
Absolutely. Amen.
You know, and so I would like to say that my passion is to shine when I'm being stretched.
Praise God.
And when maybe it's beyond what I'm able just to be capable of doing by myself.
Wow.
And if I can shine then I'm like, people can know my God.
Amen.
And that's what I really want.
Wonderful.
For people to know him.
Absolutely. That's such a unique answer to that question. It's not the typical answer that I would often think, but it just encompasses so much. It just doesn't have to be a specific ministry. It is being used at every sector of what God has for us. It's kind of what I'm hearing from you. Now, where does that connect with your life? Like, how did that come to be? How did God make that heart in you? What did he speak into you that allowed for that type of passion to burst forward?
I think really, young, that's because there's a favorite Bible verse of mine, and that says that God is the glory and the lifter of our heads. You know, and when you're working with groups of people or individuals of any age group, you know, there's times when people, they don't give you eye contact.
Yeah.
And there's many reasons why they don't give you eye contact. Maybe they're shy.
Yeah.
Or just nervous.
Sure.
Or maybe there's just other reasons why they're just unable to have the confidence.
Yes.
To be able to give you eye contact and heart connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, young, I was one of those people.
Is that right, Pastor Joan?
Wow.
Would you mind sharing? I mean, I'm curious. What do you mean by that? That was who you were.
Well, as I grew up, I faced challenges in my life that I didn't really know how to process.
Okay.
And whilst I went to church with my family, we were a church-going family,
mm-hmm.
and I would say that my parents knew God, and I'm the youngest of seven.
Wow, big family.
So we have a big family, yeah. and our family have their own experiences with God. But I was unable to equate some challenges and processes that I had with a God who's a God of love.
Okay.
And so somewhere inside me, I did my maths of 2 plus 2, reaching 10.
Okay.
Which is not correct, right?
But to a child sometimes.
That's,
that's
right.
How they think, yeah.
That's right. And so instead of coming up with what is true and having someone help me to recognize 2 and 2 equals 4,
mm.
or God's love is real,
mm-hmm.
and this is how to process your circumstances and let his love help you.
Which is so important to teach, isn't it?
That's right. I was unable to do that. Mm. And so I held those things inside me.
Okay.
And I felt like in some way I was unacceptable to God.
Okay.
And that his love wasn't for me.
Wow.
And so I tried to make life by myself. And so we had our own business, and
being your family, or you and John?
Actually, Pastor John and myself.
So you guys owned your own business.
Yes, we did.
All right.
And that seemed to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was successful.
Mm.
When I say seemed to be successful, that's because, you know, that was becoming a security I had that, you know, I needed something to have confidence about.
Mm.
I needed something to have a self-worth in.
Oh, and that was the connection.
And so, yeah, so that if I could make my life successful, mm-hmm. if I could do well at business, have a certain amount of money,
uh-huh.
bring up my children educated, they were at an independent school,
mm-hmm.
those things, I had made them my security.
Got it.
And, you know, then I had confidence to look people in the eye.
When those things were going well.
Because I'm a successful person, right?
Right, right. What did you say was really going on inside of you as those successes continued and progressed? Was it really a sense of security? Was it really a sense of confidence?
Behind that, the same fears,
mm.
the same needs, the same concerns were still sitting in there.
Okay.
And so, in a real sense, I couldn't give you my heart. I could give you my front.
Okay. And your resume, probably.
That's right. My success story. And if we talked on my success story, then I have the confidence.
Mm.
But if you would want to reach deep into my heart, then I would have looked away.
My. What would that mean to give somebody your heart? I mean, was that even happening with your husband at that time, with Pastor John? Were you able to give him your heart at that moment?
That's a very interesting question. I guess yeah. I would have liked to have thought that I could give people my heart, to be honest, at that time. But I later learned that I didn't know how to do that. And I would have said that I love Pastor John with all my heart.
Yeah.
But actually, I hardly knew my heart.
Wow. So how do you give something if you don't even know what it is?
That's right.
I see.
So I was only able to give a very small element of mm-hmm. who I was, because the other part of who I was, I guess I'd squashed it down, to be honest, because I didn't know what to do with it.
Right. Isn't that what we tend to do with things that we don't understand? It just kind of shove it to the side.
That's right.
Or put it in a dark compartment somewhere.
You know, like the dust under the carpet.
That's right.
Nobody noticed you have some.
But it's still there, isn't
That's
it?
That's right. And you know.
Yes.
In those moments, you know, where like you're shutting down at night.
Mm.
And there's deeper things you want to talk about.
Yeah.
But you're actually aware I guess in my mind, there were no answers.
Okay. So it was this abyss of the unknown that will never be clear.
So it felt like, why have the conversation and bring up things that were not settled and couldn't be settled? Yeah. Things that needed to be fixed, but there was no real answer. So this is working.
Yeah.
This will be the fix.
Right. Business and so on. Mm. So what did, now from there, what did God say to you? What did, how did he break you through that? Because that sounds like a quite a dark place. Even though on the outside, for all intents and purposes, things seem to be going really well, you still had a big closed door in some ways. What did he do? What did God do to bust you out of that?
It's kind of strange, really, because it's so simple.
Uh-huh.
You know, Pastor John loved God with all his heart.
Mm.
And so I would go to church with him. He wasn't a pastor at this time. We were just very young people.
I see.
Young married.
Well, the pre-pastor days.
Yeah. That's right, pre-pastor days. And so Pastor John always went to church, and so I would go with him.
Mm.
And I guess many people thought I was a Christian, to be honest, John.
Okay. Wow.
Because I seemed to do all the right things.
Right.
But deep in my heart, I didn't know God. I didn't know his love.
Wow.
And so we were just in a church service, the same as what you would call any other church service.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there was actually this older gentleman, and he used to sing in a male voice choir.
Mm.
And he was taking that service, and he decided to sing a solo, which was How Great Thou Art.
Mm. I love that song.
I knew that song. I could sing the song without the songbook.
Okay.
I had grown up. I knew all the old hymns. Uh-huh. I could quote scripture to you.
Wow.
But I didn't know the God who wrote it or his love.
Oh, such a big difference.
Oh, you can't tell me how big a difference.
I mean, you knew.
Opposites.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Opposite spectrums. And so I knew those things. And so I could supposedly give you some right answers about what God would say, but they had no meaning to me.
Mm.
And so as he was singing that song, and for some reason, those deeper questions were more surface, and I was struggling to keep them as squashed down as I usually did that morning in that church service. Mm. And as he started to sing, and it was this verse, God sent his son, my burdens gladly bearing.
Mm.
He bled and died to take away my sin.
Mm.
And suddenly, just what we've been teaching the children,
yeah,
all the things that come under that title sin, suddenly I recognized what they were. And painful things that had happened in my life.
Yes.
And things that I had done wrong that hurt other people.
Yeah.
I needed this Savior.
Wow.
And that he bled and died to take both the sin that had happened against me and the sin I had done away.
Mm.
You know, and it was such a moment, young. It was like all the lights flooded on in my heart, and it suddenly things that made no sense started to make some sense.
Amazing. It's almost as if you, instead of connecting with that song with your mind, which you had done so well, there was a heart connection there.
Definitely.
At a real level.
It went way deeper. Way deeper.
Wow.
You know, and I'm sure that's also partly because Pastor John was praying that I would know God in this real way.
Mm. So he had just been consistently praying that for you in your life. With great faith.
Yes, he discovered that I didn't know God the way he knew God.
Wonderful.
And so he had been praying for me, and he knew I needed that. You know, when you live with somebody,
yes,
they know you the best of
absolutely.
All.
Absolutely.
And things you would like to hide from other people.
A little bit impossible.
That's right. At home, 24/7, it's not possible to hide them.
Yeah.
And yet he showed me so much of God's love.
Mm.
that I know that God used him to open my heart to this place. Both his prayers and the way he lived.
Amazing. He was almost this manifestation of God's love in your marriage.
He really was for me. Okay. There was some hurt so deep inside.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have nightmares as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you would know, when you get married, those places don't suddenly change just because you say, I do, and somebody loves you.
That's right. Anyone who thinks that's true, it's a lie.
That's right. Don't believe it.
Don't believe it at all.
Even if he is your prince,
mm-hmm.
then you're still going to have help with your heart.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, I would have those nightmares still when we were married.
Mm.
And Pastor John would help me through those.
My.
You know, and he loved me through those. And he helped me deal with them in a different way.
Wow.
And, you know, he was praying as well. And he would pray and then I could sleep.
So God really placed your husband there for a very specific purpose. And as you said, through your marriage and through that song, and just God's been just pursuing you, ministering to you. And after he was able to connect your heart with his love and what he accomplished for you, you said things have started to make sense and fall into place. So after all of that, what started to fall in place for you? How would you like put that together? What was it that started to make sense about these questions that you had in the past?
Well, I guess I started to recognize what sin really was, and that actually I needed saving and freeing from that.
Okay.
My heart needed healing from it, and I needed forgiven for the things I had done.
Okay.
And so there was this exchange of receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness.
Wow.
You know, and then where I hadn't been able to put God's love into any sense in my life, now his love was making every bit of sense.
Wow, it had such relevance.
Mm.
It just went from literally dark to light.
I'm serious. It was like... I couldn't stop smiling.
Amazing.
It was so real, experience in God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I would be reading the Bible.
Mm.
And then I'd be saying to Pastor John, oh, have you read this? And he would say, yes. Well, it's always said that, honey. And I'd be, no, it says this. And he's like, yes.
It was coming real to you.
But suddenly God was speaking to me.
That's right.
It was like, the day before I read the book, and I just knew it as fiction and fact.
Okay. It was like a novel or something. It was
That's
just
right.
another one on the shelf.
There was some facts in there, some historical facts, some great stories, but I couldn't connect them, and there was no relevance to my life. And suddenly it started making sense of my life.
Amen.
You know, and the person who could only have confidence in social success changed to him lifting up my head.
Beautiful.
And having a confidence that I'm loved.
Wow.
I'm accepted. I'm acceptable.
So it was a genuine confidence. It was a genuine from the inside out type of living from then on.
That's right. And if all those things were taken, I'll still be standing smiling.
Amen. Whereas before, if any one of those things were taken, how would you have been?
I'd have fought.
Okay.
Tooth and nail, because you're taking away who I am. They had become who I was. I needed them.
Yes. I got it. It was attached to your identity, your sense of self.
It really had. And I didn't realize that before.
Well, I almost have a feeling to just see if we can give you an opportunity to speak to those listeners who really connect to what you're talking about. They may, at the deepest part of their heart, feel unacceptable to God, not good enough. I know that's a popular lie that Satan's effectively put into the hearts of many individuals. For that person who is right now struggling with that and trying to really experience God's love in that place, what word would you have for that person to encourage them, lift up their head?
Well, you know, there's a famous scripture in John 3:16, mm-hmm. and it says this, "For God so loved the world mm-hmm. that he gave his only son. Mm. Whoever believes in him will not be destroyed, mm. but have everlasting life." But not many people go on to quote the next verse, Young.
And what is that? Yeah,
and that's my favorite part, because it's like God says, carry on. You know, don't stop there.
It's building up to something.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm going somewhere, guys. I've got something to say to you. And in the Message version, it says this: God didn't send his son merely to point an accusing finger. But he sent him to save and put the world right.
Amen.
You know, and I guess, Young, it's so easy. We grow up with comparing ourselves.
Yes.
And people comparing us.
That's right.
And it gets ingrained in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get into this pattern and this mindset of, I need to be this. I need to reach this goal. Mm-hmm. Or then it will be okay.
Yeah. So true.
But really deep within us, we need someone to come and say those words. I'm not comparing you to anyone.
Amen.
I had such wonderful love. Psalm 139 says, how precious are God's thoughts towards us.
Amen.
They're thoughts of love.
Mm.
You know, when you would swap sin,
mm.
those things that hurt us, for what God offers, that's his thoughts. Mm-hmm. He's going to speak truth to you all the time.
Mm.
He's going to keep his promises.
Mm.
He's going to forgive you every time.
Oh, man.
He's never going to hold you at a distance.
Mm.
He's never going to reject or abandon you, no matter what.
Mm.
When you get drawn close to those Father arms of God,
yes.
and experience that incredible love,
mm-hmm.
that's all you need.
Amen.
And I would say that to anybody right now.
Mm.
You know, if you're feeling that you're less than somebody else.
Right.
Or you have to reach a certain goal to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or if words are ringing that people have spoken to you and they hurt deep in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
If circumstances have happened, whatever it is, God says, come to me.
Mm.
I'm not going to accuse you.
Mm.
I'm not going to abandon you.
Mm.
I'll never reject you.
Mm.
But I will draw you close, and I want you to experience my love.
Amen. I just sense God speaking through you at this moment right now, because you're speaking to somebody's fear. And that is the fear of, no, God doesn't want me. I have to clean up myself before I get to even chance to get before him.
And that's not possible,
is it? It isn't. And just to speak truth against that fearful lie,
Because if it was possible,
uh-huh.
he wouldn't have sent Jesus.
Amen. That's why he sent Jesus.
That's exactly why. And then he says, and I didn't send him to accuse you.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
I sent him because I love and I want to draw you close and save you.
That's right.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's the good news.
Yes.
That's when we have to say, yes, that's why this is such good and wonderful news.
It's a good moment to jump on the chair and shout, yes, he loves us.
And if you haven't seen Pastor Jo do that, it's the true to life. This is who she is. She's jumping on the chair for this good news. I would say that's a perfect picture of who mm-hmm. Pastor Jo is. And what she believes for people and connecting the love of God to those hearts. Pastor Joe, thank you so much for sharing in such a real and relevant way for our listeners today. I know you've encouraged many. And if there's any other questions, I'm sure that anyone has from listening to this, I know you'd be very open
absolutely.
to speak with them and encourage them in this and pray with them. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on this special edition of Meet the Pastors podcast. And we look forward to having you with us next time.